Glad to be here, and you still get me, so hopefully that's okay. I just want to thank all of you that have kind of stepped up and done some roles that you haven't maybe been accustomed to or comfortable with. Sometimes you have to make adjustments when the pastor leaves and the worship leader leaves and two people that run the sound leave, and when things happen in life, you just have to make adjustments, right? Right? Amen. I hope that, man, I love the songs that we sing. I know we only sing two. I think there's a reason why we only sing two tonight, because we had a lot of prayer requests and a lot of praises. But I love the songs we sing because they're so true. The promises of those songs we sang are so true that He is mighty to save. Amen, church? Is He not mighty to save in your life? And praise the Lord that we have the Holy Spirit, that we have the presence of God in our life. Every step of the way, all the guidance that you could ever need in your life comes from the Holy Spirit, the gift of God in your life. Rely on the Holy Spirit in your life. Trust in it, and it will never lead you astray. It's never left me astray one time. It's never led me astray one time in my life when I trust in Him. The problem is, I don't always do that. The problem is, I don't always remember that He is mighty to save. Sometimes I do forget. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 tonight. It might be a tougher message tonight, but that's okay. That's okay. I'm going to read Proverbs 4, 14 and 15. Listen to them closely. It says, "Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evildoers. Avoid it and do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way." Sin is devastating, church. Sin is horrible. It corrupts our lives. It separates us. It hurts our families. It hurts our friends. It hurts so many different people. And most importantly, it leads to death. Sin is so devastating that it leads you straight to the grave. Sin is so devastating in our life. Sin is so devastating in our life that it is what destroys our life. It's what destroys our life. Why do we walk so easily into it? Why do we fall into temptation so easily? Too many believers fall too easily. They do not trust in the Holy Spirit. I'm with you. I'm with you. I fall to sin too easily. I fall to sin too easily in my life, the sin that leads to death, the sin that leads to destruction, the sin that corrupts and destroys. I fall too easily, and I know you're the same. We all fall too easily to sin in our life. So let me ask you, church, are you saying no to the temptation in your life? Are you so easily walking into it as if there's not even a barrier there? Are you so easily walking into temptation? Or are you saying no? No to temptation in your life. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let me give you a little bit of context. Paul's answering some questions for the Corinthians. If you read the 1 Corinthians, you'll see all these different questions Paul are answering about how to take communion and sexual immorality and all those different things. And right before this moment, he addresses this one thing. He addresses, should we eat meat that's given to false idols? That was a big thing. Today, it's like not a big thing, but back then, that was a huge deal. Is it okay for me to eat meat that was sacrificed for false idols? So he's answering that question, but he's going to go a little bit deeper than just that. He's going to answer a question, and he's going to warn them and encourage them about how to flee from temptation. We all need to flee from temptation in our life. Amen. Can we agree to that tonight? We all need to flee from those temptations in our life. I'm actually going to start in chapter 9, just at the very end, verse 24. You guys heard me read this on Sunday, but I wanted to dive just a little bit deeper. It says, chapter 9, verse 24, it says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games go into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave. So after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." Here, what is Paul telling the Corinthians? He says, be self-controlled. Be self-controlled. Too many times we let our body decide what we ought to do. Can I promise you, your body will not lead you in the path you need to go? My body so often tells me the things not to do. that are wrong for me, that are not good for me. Paul here is saying my body doesn't tell me what to do. I tell my body what to do. What does he say? He says, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave. Do not let your body tell you what to do. It will lead you down the path you do not want to go. Paul says, I make it my slave. I don't allow my body to tell me what to do. I tell my body what to do. We need self-control in our life. Amen, church? We've got to have self-control. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit. That's one of the things that the Holy Spirit helps us with, is to be self-controlled, to be self-disciplined. He's encouraging them not to walk in the flesh, but rather the Spirit. But when we allow our body to be the master over us, when we allow our temptations to be the master over us, why do we be walking in the flesh? Rather than the Spirit. Rather than the Spirit. Now we're getting to chapter 10 and verse 1. It says, for I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud, and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate of the same spiritual food and drank of the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Paul here is reminding them not to forget about what the ancestors had seen and did in their life, what God had done for them. What did God do for them? Well, he lists a few things here. What does he say? He said, remember that pillar cloud that your ancestors had? Remember that cloud? God's presence was with them. And then it says they were baptized into Moses. Well, how were they baptized into Moses? Because of the Red Sea. And then he says they ate of the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. What's he talking about here? He's talking about the manna that came from heaven. He's talking about the manna that came from heaven and the drink that came from the rock. When Moses strikes the rock and the water comes out of it, this is what he's talking about. But also, Paul's doing something very interesting here. I pray we don't miss it. He's using the things that happened in the Old Testament to show what we do today. The sacraments that we take part in, baptism and communion. These are the two things Paul here is describing and he's talking about. And let me just tell you that the Israelites, they had the presence of God. They walked on the Red Sea. They had food from heaven. It says here, it says even Christ was with them. What's he talking about there? What's he talking about there? He says that rock that was struck, that living water, that the water that kept flowing and kept flowing, that is Christ in our life. Amen. He is the rock that keeps flowing and flowing, the spring that never runs dry. He tells the woman at the well, you'll never thirst anymore if you trust in me. You'll never go thirsty anymore. He's the living rock. He's the rock which living water flows. Amen. He's Christ. He's Christ. They experienced all these things, amazing, amazing things in their life. But what does it say in verse 5? It says, nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. What is he talking about? He's saying, even though those Israelites saw all these amazing things that God did, even though they were partakers in all the blessings that God, the provision and protection that God kept giving and kept giving and kept giving, he says, nevertheless, God was not pleased with them. What's he saying? They didn't make it to the promised land. And this is what Paul here is telling the Corinthian church, that you think because you partake in baptism, you think you partake in communion, that that's going to save you. That's not going to save you. Coming to church isn't going to save you. It's not going to take care of your sins. It's not going to take care of your temptations. But only Christ, who is the living rock, which water flows from, can take care of us. He says, nevertheless, God was not pleased. You would think those people that experienced all those things, they would walk faithfully, right? They would walk faithfully. But can I promise you, we see even more than they did, but yet we don't walk faithfully. Yet we sin, and we walk into temptation so often. Yet we see Christ died for us on the cross, bleeding and dying on the cross. Yet we walk right into sin. Right into temptation. So often, we miss the blessings of God in our life. This is what he's warning the people here, that just because you were baptized, just because you take communion, just because you come to church, does not mean that God is pleased with you. Those are amazing things. Those are awesome things, blessed things that we get to partake in as believers in Jesus Christ. They're amazing things. But that doesn't mean because you take them that God is pleased with you. Too often I think God's not pleased with us. I pray that's not the case, but I think it might be. That too often when we walk into sin and we walk and we say yes to temptation like we weren't even fighting it at all. I can promise you God's not pleased with you when you walk in temptation that easily. When you fall to sin, he's not pleased with us. He's reminding them and warning them. Don't think that you can just come to church and stamp your ticket. Don't think you can just be baptized and stamp your ticket. That doesn't get you anywhere. Amazing, faithful things to partake in. They help us grow in Christ. But if we ain't first in Christ, you can't grow in Christ. Verse 6, it says, now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality, as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 of them died. We should not test Christ, as some of them did, and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble, as some of them did, and were killed by the destroying angel. What is he talking about all here? And this is all summed up very easily by him saying that sin is devastating. Do not think sin is just a small thing. He's given these examples, and you can go through Exodus and Numbers and look at every single one of these. Absolute devastating. You see the Israelites when he says, do not be idolaters. You see them, they eat and they drink and they partake in the foreign gods, the gods that are no gods at all. And then they begin to commit sexual immorality. And then they begin to test Christ, test the Lord so many times. By how? By grumbling over and over again. By going after their own desires. He's telling them. He says, these things, listen closely, church. These things that occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Why all these bad things? They're not just for nothing. They're examples to keep us from falling into the same trap. But why do we easily fall into it? Why do we easily fall into the same trap as they did? Sin has huge consequences, church. Here we just see one moment where 23,000 of them died. And yet we say, not a big deal. The sin in our life, not a big deal. See, we're without excuse, church. Why are we without excuse? Because we have all those people's examples on how not to live. Yet we pay it no mind or no attention. Again, I said, church, this is not going to be an easy message. It's a self-reflecting message because sin is the one thing that's going to hold you back the most in your life. And what I see as an example of every single story that he brings up here is every single one of those are self-seeking. They don't focus on God. Idolatry doesn't focus on God. Sexual immorality doesn't focus on God. Testing the Lord sure doesn't focus on the Lord. Grumbling and complaining doesn't focus on the Lord. What's it put the focus on? It puts the focus on me. That is what sin is. It puts the focus on you. What do I want? What do I desire? What do I want to do? That is what sin, that's the definition of sin. Is what do I want? And what do I desire? Can I promise you that not everything you want and desire is good for you? It's not. Many of you know it. I know I'm speaking probably to the choir here. Because we all can think of moments in our life where we fell into temptation and we realize that's a bad thing. That's not a good thing. Sin had huge consequences. It completely split my marriage up. I lost friends and family because of it. Maybe you lost years on your life because of it. Maybe you spent years in prison because of it. Sin is not a game. It has huge consequences. And let me tell you, one reason I think we fall into temptation so easily is because we don't think it's that bad. One reason I think we walk right into temptation is because we don't think it is that bad. But here these verses show us how bad and how devastating sin is. Sin is so bad. Again, I'll remind you that it leads to death. 23,000 people. It leads to death. But it also keeps us from experiencing the fullness of God in your life. You want peace and joy and patience and all those things. That you will not find them in sin. But you'll find them in the presence of God. If you want to experience the fullness of God, the fullness of the Holy Spirit in your life, flee from sin in your life, because you won't find it in sin. You won't find it in drugs. You won't find it in adultery. You won't find it in sexual immorality. But you'll find the fullness of God in God, in Christ. Why do we always walk so easily into sin? It's repetitive for a reason, because I'm tired of walking into sin so easily. And I pray you're the same as me. God has freed us from it. Live as if we've been freed. Amen, church? Amen. Amen. Sin is devastating. Devastating. But look at verse 11 and 12. It says, these things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom a of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Let me read that again. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. What is he talking about here? He tells these stories that we might run from sin, that we might flee from sin. He says, you have all reason, everything, it's all up to Christ. It all has come up to the ages, the fulfillment of the ages. We should know better, church. We should know better. We have all the revelation, the complete final story. We have no reason to sin. No reason to walk into sin. See, one of the problems is we think because we have Christ, this is what the problem was with the Corinthian church and many churches and many believers today. We think because we have Christ, we have the freedom to sin. That is such a wrong way to see it. That because you have Christ, oh, he's forgiven me. Now I can just go and do whatever I want. But not everything you want is good for you. See, he didn't flee. He didn't free you to sin. What did he say? He says, I freed you from sin. I freed you so you don't sin anymore. He tells the adulterous woman, and he says, look up and who condemns you? And there's no one there. What does he say? He says, I don't condemn you either. But he says, go and sin no more. Jesus doesn't free us from sin so we can do whatever we want. He frees us from sin so we can live for him freely. But we don't so often. See, church, we have more reason not to sin because of Christ than they did. We have more reason not to sin for what Christ has done for us in our life. See, it's pretty hard to sin sometimes. The problem is we cut it out when we think of what Jesus has done for us. Because I can promise you, if you start to remember all the amazing thing Christ is doing in your life, how he saved you from the pit of hell, how he's redeemed your life, he's restored your life, it's pretty hard when you're thinking those things to walk into sin. It's pretty hard to do that. It's pretty hard to do that. See, I love verse 12. I want you to listen. This is the verse that I think is the most powerful out of this. You might think it's another one. It's whatever the Lord is speaking to you about. But verse 12, it says, so if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. See, I'm going to give you a story about my life for just a minute. See, when I was in fifth grade, but I know there was other times. Y'all remember the DARE program in school? They still do it, but you don't really hear a lot about it. They still do it. The biggest slogan is like, say no to drugs, right? Just say no to drugs. And they probably had, it was probably some other, like violence, and there were some other things that were a part of that. But just say no. But when I grew up, I thought, no, I'd never do a drug in my life. I'll be the best, you know. I'll be so strong, I don't care. That friend tells me that I'm going to do drugs. Not going to happen. No way. But you know, guess what? I end up doing drugs. I end up falling into sin, doing things I wasn't supposed to. I wasn't as strong as I thought I was. I wasn't standing as firm as I thought I was. And let me tell you, those that think they are the strongest seem to fall the hardest. Those that think they are why is that the case? Why is it the case that when you think you're the strongest, you fall the hardest? Because you're the most proud. What does that mean? That means when you do fall, because we all fall short of the glory of God, we cover it up. You hear me, church? We cover it up. We say, I'm going to take care of it myself. I'll get it figured out. I don't want anyone to know about it, but I'll figure it out. Guess what? You don't figure it out. You do not figure your sin out. Because you don't have the remedy for the disease. You don't have the cure for the disease. It's Christ who has the cure for the disease. See, the first step in fleeing from sin in your life is realizing that you're not strong enough, but that He is strong enough. Amen, church? The first step to fleeing from those temptations in your life, from resisting the devil, is knowing that you're not strong enough, but that He is strong enough. You want to flee from temptation in your life, trust in Christ. Trust in Jesus Christ. You have to have Christ in your life. See, Christ is the only one that can give you victory over sin in your life. Aren't you tired of the sin in your life? Only Christ can give you victory over it. Stop playing with it. Stop thinking you're going to be able to fix it. You're not going to be able to fix it. Trust Christ with it. You think you're going to beat your addiction. You're not going to beat it. But Christ can help you beat it. Amen. 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 Why am I saying amen? Because He's done it in my life. He's shown me that He can beat any sin in my life if I trust in Him. If I cling to Him, the one who is able. Don't think you're so strong and that you're standing firm and nothing's going to be able to take you down. The devil would love to watch you fall. The devil would love to watch you fall. Trust in the one who is strong enough. I'm probably butcher it because you think about something and then when you're up here you forget sometimes. But there's a song that says, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, for they are weak, but He is strong. What a simple, amazing kid song. Why? Because it's so true. He loves every single one of us here tonight so much that He doesn't want us to fall into sin. So much that He doesn't want us to fall to sin in our life. Verse 13, it says, no temptation. This is a beautiful verse. Listen to it closely, church. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure. Listen to it one more time and take it to heart. Soak it in. It says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Amen, church? Why is that an amen? Because it's a promise from God. It's a promise, church. It's a promise that He's not going to give you more than you can handle. He's going to provide a way out. And He is faithful to do those things. What this tells me, every time that I gave into temptation, every time I said yes to temptation, is that was my own fault. Why? Because He didn't give me something I couldn't bear with Him. And He gave me a way out, but I didn't take it. How do I know that? Because God is faithful. Even if I thought that this was too much to bear, God is faithful. It wasn't too much to bear. I just said yes to it. I didn't think there was a way out. But God is faithful. There was a way out. But I just didn't take it. So often there's a way out. We just don't take it. We just don't take it. But it also tells me that the temptations in my life, they're not new. The temptations in my life are not new. It says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. Don't think that one thing you're struggling with, that temptation that you're struggling with, is new. Like, I'm the only one going through it. You're not. Many people struggle with the same thing you're struggling with. Many people do. And even the Word of God says, Jesus was tempted in every way, but He did not sin. That's who lives inside you if you have Christ. The one who had been tempted in every single way, but he didn't sin. And he says, if you trust in me, if you trust in me, he gives you life. And life in abundance. What does that look like? That looks like the joy and the peace and the everlasting life. In the endurance, in the persistence to endure all the trials in your life. The temptations in your life. God has provided you a way out. You just didn't take it. God provided a way out for me. I just didn't take it. We got to start taking responsibility for the things we do. It is nobody else's fault but yours and mine that we fall into sin. Nobody's. Because you have a choice every single time that crossroad comes, and you have a choice whether to say yes or no to it. And with Christ, you got even more power to say no to it. If you trust in Him, if you rely on Him. See, God gives us a way out. But here's the most important. I want you to pay attention, because this is where I think we don't get it right sometimes. Is we think the way out's always easy. It's not always easy. It doesn't say God provided an easy way out. He said God provided a way out so that you can endure it. Sometimes the way out's hard. What does that mean? Sometimes you got to walk away from family. Sometimes in temptation, you have to walk away from the friends you've had for your whole life. Sometimes you do. Sometimes it's a huge cost. But I can promise you that the cost is nowhere comparable to the cost it is to sin. It's not even close. Because leaving your friends, though it might hurt at times, leaving your family at times might hurt. And praise the Lord that He can reconcile, that He can restore. And sometimes you only have to walk away for a moment, but God will restore it later. Church, we need more victories in our life. Why do you keep falling to that sin? Why have you not had victory over it yet? Maybe you've been like me, and I've come to the altar and prayed over it and prayed over it and prayed over it, but I still had it. That's pretty exhausting, is it not? To keep struggling with the same thing over and over and over again, isn't that exhausting? Oh, it's exhausting. But when you finally give it to Christ, when you finally let Christ have it, there is so much relief and freedom in it. The problem is we want our flesh too much. We want our desires too much. God's given you a way out. Don't think He hasn't. You can have victory in Christ. It's possible. It's not too late. It's not too late. You haven't sinned too far for Christ not to forgive you. Why are you still struggling with it? Well, how do we resist? I want to give you two verses. I want you to really think about them. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, 11 and 12, it says, "But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." How do you resist temptation in your life? Pursue righteousness, church. Pursue godliness. Pursue faith. Pursue love. Pursue steadfastness. Pursue gentleness. And fight the good fight of faith. But most importantly, take hold of the eternal life that God has given you. Like I've already said, if you remember what Christ has done, if you remember how He's plucked you from the pit of hell, if you remember how He's given you freedom over the bondage of sin, it tends to allow us the ability to say no to the devil. When you remember what all of Christ has done, stop pursuing sin, but rather pursue godliness. Pursue the Lord who gives us freedom, who satisfies even all our desires. How do you resist? Trust in Christ. I hope that this message is simple enough so that we can apply it to our life. I wish we would flee from sins more and not fall so easily. Because I can promise you, the devil's going to come and he's going to knock on your door. And he's going to say, I have a delivery. And if you're not walking in the Spirit and you're walking in your flesh, you'll say, come right on in. But if you trust in Christ, the devil will knock on your door and he'll say, I have a delivery for you. And you'll say, sorry, Satan, you got the wrong house. It's as simple as that when we trust in Christ. Will you have temptation? Of course you will. You'll have temptation throughout your life here on earth. But I pray that every day you're getting stronger in the Lord, that you're trusting in the Lord a little bit more so that you can bear even the toughest of the temptations. That you can take out the fiery arrows from Satan. But yet we leave the door wide open and we say, Satan, come right on in. That doesn't sound like a fight, does it? But that's how we deal with sin in our life so often. So let me ask you, church, aren't you tired of falling into temptation? Aren't you sick and tired of falling into temptation, that sin in your life? Aren't you tired of holding it all the time? Aren't you tired of picking it up all the time? Aren't you tired of being in the dark and being in the closet with that sin thing? Oh, nobody can see, but knowing in your heart that Christ sees every time. Aren't you tired of it? Aren't you tired of the sin in your life? Aren't you tired of the sin that brings disgust and shame and guilt in your life? Christ has freed you from it. Stop holding on to it. If it disgusts you so much, stop holding on to it. Because Christ has given you the freedom to give it to Him. He's paid the ultimate price so that you can lay your sins at the feet of Jesus. He died for your sins so that you might be forgiven, so that you might live for Him, live through Him. Why? Because He loves you. Why does God not want you to sin? It's pretty simple. Because He loves you. That's it. He loves you so much that He sent His Son to die for you while you were still sinners. My favorite verse. I think it's so powerful. It shows us who God really is. Aren't you tired of it? So let me ask you again, church. Are you even saying no to the sin in your life? Or are you just dragging it behind you? Seems pretty heavy. For all who are tired and weary, Jesus says, come to me. I'll give you rest. My yoke is light. Isn't that amazing that we have a God that cares so deeply for you and I that He's given you a way out? You didn't deserve the way out. You deserve to carry your sin all the way to the grave. But God says, I love you too much for that. I love you too much to let you bear your sin. He said, I'll bear it for you. Stop picking up the sin. Stop picking up the sin in your life. Live as if Christ has actually freed you. Amen, church? Amen. Let's stand.